Money Show.
Make Money Mondays.
Make Money Mondays brought to you by BDO's financial services team, helping you keep pace with fintech and regulations in financial services. Well, a great pleasure to have in studio with us this evening Mark Wayner, the founder of South Africa's second largest listed property company. And he retired last week as a director at Redefine. You started Redefine in 1999
and listed in 2000.
It must have been the worst time in the world to start a property business. I mean, the world was crazy. We'd had the dot-com bubble burst. South Africa wasn't feeling all that great. Emerging markets crisis not long before that. You're glutton for punishment.
No, because when you have those kind of times, and if you believe in the future, that was a great time to assemble a portfolio, which was then about 850 or 900 million market cap of just 430 or 450 million, something around that.
463, my research tells me. 463, yes.
And it was a battle to raise that money. It was a battle, and right up until the end. And then we were oversubscribed by about 10 million or something, so that made me feel very good. But 2 rand shares, and we opened at 185.
Yo. But, I mean, a really, really, I mean, interesting time to start a property portfolio. You'd previously worked for Investec. You then created Mark Wayner Associates. That was bought by Corp Capital. And at the age of 50, a bit like Yanni Mouton, you go out and you start a brand new listed company. I mean, it's late in life generally.
Well, I might have been 50, but I only felt like about 35 or 40.
And it's been a 20-year journey. I mean,
20 years.
And that property portfolio has grown substantially over that time.
Yeah, from just under a billion to just under 100 billion, from 5 staff to 500. So, yeah, so it's been a great ride. It's been exciting, ups and downs like always.
But property is one of the biggest confidence games in any economy. I mean, you really do have to be able to take a 10, 15, 20-year view on an economy to have the guts to dig the foundations. I mean, if you came past the tallest building in Africa, the Leonardo, that's been built by Bart Dorenstein and the Legacy Group here next door. I went up to the top of that the other day, and it's spectacular. But you say to him, like, you've got to see the future. And he goes, yeah, well, the property guys are by nature optimistic.
You know, when I started in the property business, 1970-odd, what you had was these Italian builders and the old Jewish builders who used to say they built for others when times were good and for themselves when times were bad. And that's what they did. So to keep themselves going, they bought a piece of land, they built a building, and when times turned, they sold it at a profit. So, you know, that's the old adage. And I think if you believe that there is a future in South Africa, then certainly I would say the property sector today, if you look at the yields in the listed property sector, they're not just talking Redefine. Across the board, there's some incredible buys, 12, 13% forward yields. So even if they don't show growth for the next year or two, you're going to get the capital appreciation ultimately. And, you know, it's great. And if you were a brave person and you said, well, I'm going to gear that 30 or 40%, you know, you're going to get 15, 16% return. So, yeah, so I think it's still is an exciting industry. And as I say, you know, when times are tough, if you're brave, I'm not 50 anymore, I'm 70, but I think there's still opportunities here in South Africa and in particular abroad. But where I'm coming from now is not investment property because I'm older, and I'm going to do property trading.
So explain to me what you're doing now, because man, like your neighbor in your office building in Rosebank, Brian Joffe's got a floor above or below you.
Above.
What he always would be, wouldn't he?
Of course.
But Brian Joffe, at the age of 70, retires from Bidvest, and then he decides that he needs to go and find something else to do. So he creates a new listed business in Long for Life, and off he goes and buys Sorbet and a couple of other things. You have got an office just below him, and you're going to go into a property trading business. Explain what you're going to do.
So look, I think there are huge opportunities. If you take, and it's one of the reasons I think that I wanted to retire, because in a listed environment, the shareholders don't like what they call lumpy income, trading income. So if you take Poland, where, you know, we're involved, we can develop logistics portfolios at a net return of 8.25, 8.5, and sell those at between 6.25 and 6.5. Now, as a private person, I can gear that 70%, not 50 like a listed fund, sure, or 40. So you can, over a 12-18 month period, so 80% to 100% ROE. Now, that I find very exciting, and their opportunity is not only there. I think the UK, everybody there is panicking, and there's some huge discounts to NAV that you can take advantage of.
I think tomorrow morning when Britain wakes up, they might even be higher, considering that Boris Johnson has just gone basically and said, either you back me in Parliament tomorrow or we go to an election and everyone loses their jobs. I mean, this is brinkmanship of an epic proportion.
Absolutely.
But it creates opportunity, again, over the longer term. You're a big fan of Poland, and you've looked at this Polish economy and have noticed something quite particular about it and wish South Africa could learn from it.
You know, I went to Poland by mistake, 2015 World Cup. An agent got me to go look at a portfolio. I envisaged people riding on donkeys. And there are so many parallels between Poland coming out of communism in 1990 and South Africa 94. But what they've achieved, and I know different geography, I know that they got EU money, but the level of education of their people's phenomenal. It's only Poland and Australia that have had 28 years of uninterrupted GDP growth. They've averaged 4.2% over 28 years, okay? This year, 5%. It's an emerging market. People are getting wealthier, spending. So you have inflation at 1.5%, but retail sales growth of 7.5-8%. You know, it's, and then, as I say, in the kind of thing I want to do, you get 7-year money if you want it at 2%.
Yeah.
And you can do properties at the same yields as in South Africa, 7.5-8. Develop at 8.5, sell at 6, gear 70%. You know, you don't have to be a genius. But in the listed environment, you know, you can't gear 70% because your shareholders will have a fit.
This gives you freedom for the first time in your working life.
For a long time. Not in the first time in my working life, but certainly going back to my roots, to what I really enjoy. Okay, so the last 12, 15 months, I really haven't been having fun. And not because of the market, but, you know, as the business grows, you get bureaucratic. You've got corporate governance issues, risk committee, social and ethics, all these kind of things. So it was just for me getting too much, and I wasn't enjoying it. And I said to my wife, who unfortunately I lost, and that precipitated my retirement 3 weeks ago. And I said to her at the beginning of this year, next year I'm going to retire. And she said, well, if you're going to retire, you better not stay at home. And I think to some extent that's why Brian Joffe's sitting up.
I've got no doubt. I'm sure he arrived home on day one and his wife went, oh, no, you don't.
But he had a very interesting, when I asked him, because I've known Brian for many years, and I said to him, you know, you retired when you were 35 or 36. You went to play golf in Atlanta. Then you came back and you started a business. And now you've done this whole thing in reverse. Why are you doing this when you're 70? He says, do you know how many good people you can employ who are 70 plus, who still got a lot in them, and you don't have to pay them much?
Is that what you're banking on as well?
No, I think your old mates. No, I think I don't want to have, I think this time around, I want to have a nice business. I don't want to have a huge business. We're going to have a limit. I'm going to do consulting as well. I've been offered a few directorships. I want to continue with mentorship, maybe a little bit on the speaking circuit, but I want to have the freedom to work 4 hours a day if I choose, or 8 hours, and I certainly don't want to have all the stress associated with a listed vehicle and analysts and critics
and boxes to tick.
And boxes to tick.
Very boring to tick boxes. Mark Wehner is our guest this evening. Make Money Mondays. We'll learn a bit about where he comes from, what created his appetite for risk, what created his appetite for growing a business in South Africa, and then at the age of 70, doing it all over again. And
Make Money Mondays.
Mark Wehner is my guest this evening, and recently retired as the chairman of Redefine, but born in Brandfort in the Free State. What on earth were the Wehners doing in Brandfort?
My grandfather had a general store and travelled around on a horse, and you know, they were there. They were in. My father worked in Viljoenskroef, where you come from.
and all these little places,
Ellwill North and all over the place. And then when I was, shortly after I was born, they moved to Johannesburg in the southern suburbs, and then slowly progressed to the wonderful suburb of Sydenham East, where I grew up. And
Was there money in the family? I mean,
No money in the family whatsoever. My parents had a, my father worked as a sales rep for a wholesale grocer, and when he lost his job, they bought a little fisheries grocery store, which probably today would be classified as a spaza shop. And I used to go and after school go and help in the store at night. We had to go and mark the stuff, weigh the mealie meal, weigh the rice, weigh the flour, kind of stuff, you know, because there was no prepacks in those days. Everything came in a big sack. And that's where I kind of learned about margins. The profit was determined by the size of the paper bag that you used. When we sold a loaf of bread, the whole bread wasn't wrapped. You just had a little piece of paper.
I remember those, yep.
I remember nine cents for a loaf of white bread, 7.5 cents for a loaf of brown bread. I remember when I used to go after school, my mother used to say, "You want a sandwich?" I'd say yes, and she'd cut a loaf of bread and take a slice from each side, thin slice, so that we could still sell the half loaf of bread kind of thing. So, you know, those were the early days, and that stood me in good stead going through, because, you know, when you're in the property business, you're dealing in big money, and you lose sight of the small things. And this is today. I mean, those days wasn't so big, but if, you know, you talk about a bill, somebody says to you, "I'll buy this building for 30 million. No, you're getting 29. Well, it's the same thing. You know, what's $1 million between friends? So you lose sight of that.
And it happens quite quickly. I mean, but was your path to financial success quick? I mean, what did you study at university?
I never went to university.
Did you not?
Left school and matric, had to go and do my army training. Then I became a sales rep selling display materials. My father got ill, he had a heart attack. So I was roped into the family business, which I hated with a passion. I hated it. But then we were in Yeovil, just opposite King Edward School, and the block was being redeveloped. My parents managed to take a bond on their house to take a 10% interest. And I watched this building. It's two levels of shops and but some offices. And I watched, to get out of the shop, I'd go and watch the guy's building, and had a passion for it. And then when my father got ill again, we decided to sell the business. And I was looking for a job, and I saw an advert in the newspaper for a shopping center manager, which was for then South Africa's first shopping center in Kempton Park. I applied for the job. There were about 10 or 11 applicants, and believe it or not, I was the only guy who went to look at the shopping center. So when they asked me in the interview, "Well, if you got the job, what would you do?" I spoke about the chains in the window of the steakhouse, and they said, "Oh, you've been to the center." So I got the job. And when I arrived at the job, I didn't know what I was doing. So I sort of looked at it, and using my grocery background, I said, "Well, how much are we paying for water and how much do we recover?" And we were losing money. So I said, there were 180 flats. I said, "Charge everybody R2 or R3 for water." I didn't know it was illegal, but we did it and put water meters in and charged for parking and things. And then after about 9 months, the boss, the big boss who I'd never met, drove up and said, "Find somebody to take your job. You're coming out. You're out of here." I thought I was fired. So what did I do? So he started explaining.
You made that money.
He said, "No, it added value to the 400,000 to the value of the building." I said, "Well, what did I do?" So he said, "Well, you took the income from this to that, capitalized it." I didn't know what he was talking about. So I went to a family friend who was in property. I said, "Please explain this to me.
What have I just done?"
Yeah, because, you know, to me, if 10% sounded better than 8%, not the other way around. I didn't understand any of this. So I learned, I suppose, from the University of Life. Then that company ultimately was closed down because it was when the banks were pulling in, and we started our first business called City Plan, which was a property management business. And then that was sold. We went into property trading. That business was sold to Investec. And
that's how you ended up at Investec?
That's how I ended up at Investec. They bought the business. We started Investec Property Group. And then I was there. Then I had a serious operation, and I thought, this is also becoming too bureaucratic. When I was there, we were 70 odd people. By the time I left, we were 300 and something, and I had a whole property management business, which I hated. So I thought, I'll go and do my own thing, which I did. And in 1998, you'll recall, interest rates went to 25%. I had property syndications where I had investors who put money in, and I signed for the mortgages because that was safe. You know, 11.5% returns, interest rate to 25%, and I'm writing checks every month to the bank and going bust. So in desperation, I looked at the listed property sector, found a portfolio which I thought was great, and ultimately couldn't find anybody to take it. I had somebody, Eric Ellerin, who was going to do it for me. And then the markets crashed, so he said, I'm out of here. And I ended up with Jeff Liebsman at Corp Capital Bank, and that was really the start of Redefine.
It's an extraordinary, and it's at the age of 50 now. I mean, you've had a very successful career of hustling your way through. You then get into the formal listed property sector.
So I think the interesting thing is, because often I kind of sit back and I think, how did this happen? And you know, if I look at the circumstances, if we'd sold our supermarket or grocery business a week later or 2 weeks later, I wouldn't have seen the ad for the shopping center. And all of the things that happened, I think, I keep thinking, was it luck? But then I think it's opportunity. And I always tell this to the people that I mentor. I say, you know, life offers everybody opportunities, but it's like one of those merry-go-rounds that you've got to reach up and grab the ring. Some people are too scared.
Yeah,
and you take the risk and pays off sometimes, sometimes it doesn't. So I think I was given the opportunities and I was maybe brave enough or foolish enough to actually reach up and grab them. And
very few people seize the opportunities. Some people seize opportunities and it doesn't work out for them. But somebody like Christo Visa, for example, perfectly open about the fact that he seized opportunity after opportunity. Yeah. Massive risk taker. And then in his 70s, he got the wrong opportunity and it hasn't wiped him out, but it's done a lot of damage. Yeah.
And you learn from that. Too many eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
You've got to spread on. You know, after what happened to Christo, I started looking. I said, hang on a second. You know, how much have I got invested in Redefine, in EPP and these kind of things? And now that I'm off the board and these things, I've got to reduce that exposure, not totally, but a little bit, and diversify. My accountants and financial advisors always used to say to me, you've got too much exposure to property. I said, that's the only thing I know, and it's the only thing I trust. Whatever else I've done, as soon as I go out the tram lines, I take a knock. So I stick to the knitting, I stick to what I know, and I think the opportunities that are coming now with my new property fund, which I'm going to put a fair amount of money into personally in Poland and offshore, because I must be honest, I don't see that many opportunities short-term for South African trading opportunities, but they'll come. So I think, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going back to having fun. This is what I enjoy, what I do. I'm a trader by heart, and I think I'm going to have a lot of fun doing it.
Have you got any bad money habits? I mean, I've skipped in my entire script, but I mean, do you have a bad wine, whiskey habit, or a painting habit, or just buy buildings?
I collect whiskey. Okay.
You collect?
I collect whiskey. I love. I don't drink that much of it, but I do enjoy a good scotch. So I'm doing that, and I'm very excited.
What's the most you've ever spent on a bottle of whiskey?
I haven't spent a lot, but I've got the most expensive bottle of whiskey I've ever been given. As a gift was 38,000 rand.
Which is a what?
And I finished it last night.
Well done.
So
what is the point of having the stuff if you're not going to drink it?
Exactly.
What was it?
It was, I'm trying to think of the name, but the brewery went bust or closed down, and this was the last bottling. I can't remember the name. But I'm very excited because in just over 2 weeks' time, my son who's sitting out there gave me a 70th birthday present, which is to take me to the first cup of the World Cup rugby.
In Japan.
And then he's organized a tour of the Nikkei, which is Japanese whiskey factory. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I'm not a good money manager. Okay. So I give my money to professionals to manage. I spend a lot of money on travel.
As you should.
I love traveling. And I spoil my grandchildren and children rotten.
That's the way it should be. Because you can.
Absolutely. Mark Wehner,
thank you very much for coming in. Lovely to see you.
Thank you, Bruce. Great to see you again.
Mark Wehner, who retired from Redefine last week and is going at the age of 70, like Brian Joffe, one floor above him, into creating a whole new enterprise in his 70th year.